Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle...
Show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West.
...is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the boys in blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers,
Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, David Bassett.
Welcome to a very special pregame edition of Dodger Talk. We are with you for the next hour, taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, leading you up to Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck. David Vassay, live at Oracle Park in San Francisco. Thanks for joining us as we get set for Game 2 of the NLDS between the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. Tim Wallach, the former Dodger third baseman and bench coach, will join us at 4:30 to share his thoughts on what went down last night, how he believes the Dodgers can win tonight, and his experiences playing for the Dodgers and being a coach in this rivalry against the San Francisco Giants. So Tim Wallach will join us at 4:30. I don't really want to spend too much time on last night, because what happened last night has no bearing on what's going to happen tonight. So just to recap, in case you missed it, Logan Webb was outstanding for the San Francisco Giants last night, pitching 7 2/3 scoreless innings. He had 10 strikeouts and did not walk a single Dodger. The Dodgers did not get deep into counts. They allowed Webb to get out of innings with no stress and minimal pitch counts. He threw 38 changeups, 29 sliders, and 67 of those combined pitches for 92 total. So he had 67 of changeups and sliders out of his 92 pitches, and the Dodgers did not make adjustments. Walker Buehler, who took only his second postseason loss of his career last night, pitched well enough to win and kept the Dodgers in the game, despite giving up this two-out, two-run home run to Buster Posey in the first inning.
Outfield is playing Posey as if he was a left-handed pole hitter. The 3-0. Fly ball to right. Well hit and gone. Buster Posey goes the opposite way. A home run headed toward McCovey Cone. And the Giants take a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, that rattled the Dodgers a little bit as Buster Posey on a 3-0 pitch from Walker Buehler sent it over Levi's Landing into McCovey's Cove out there in right field. And Walker Buehler gave up that two-run home run with two outs in the first inning. And then Chris Bryant in the bottom of the seventh inning added an insurance run in the seventh inning off of Buehler. And for good measure, once Walker was out of the game, Dave Roberts went to Alex Vesia. The left-hander gave up a home run to Brandon Crawford. And that's how the Giants shut out the Dodgers last night, 4-0. But the Dodgers have got to do some better things in the middle of the game and make adjustments. Something that Dave Roberts said last night was frustrating for him to watch.
I don't think so, Dylan. I think that postseason baseball, granted, they hit a couple homers tonight, but I think that you can. I just don't think you're trying to hit a homer. And last year we lived by the homer in the regular season, but I thought, you know, in the postseason, we brought out a different club, and we got deep in accounts, took walks, and used the whole field, kept the line moving, and you're going to run into some homers that way. So I think that tonight, it just, like I said, the first thing I said is we just didn't make an adjustment all night long. I thought we had the same club all night long, and that was a driver. And so you got to kind of read and react sometimes.
And the Dodgers did not do a good job against Logan Webb in reading and reacting. And if this series goes five games, like many people expect, you're going to have to see Logan Webb again here at Oracle Park, where he shut down the Dodgers in his first ever postseason start. But the Dodgers have Kevin Gausman to face tonight, and Kevin Gausman has not done much of anything as far as the second half of the season. In 15 starts in the second half, Gausman has an ERA of 4.70. In the month of September, he had an ERA of 12.75, and Gabe Kapler had a quick hook when Gausman faced the Dodgers the last time on July 19th when he gave up two home runs in three innings of work. And that's something that Gabe Kapler is not shy about. He is going to go to his bench for matchups early if they dictate so, and he's going to his bullpen early if his starting pitcher does not have it. And the Dodgers have a little different of a starting lineup tonight against Kevin Gausman. The usual suspects are in there: Betts, Seager, Trey Turner, Justin Turner, Will Smith. But as Dave Roberts promised last night, Chris Taylor is starting in center field. Cody Bellinger is hitting seventh and playing first base. And A.J. Pollock still in the starting lineup in left field despite his postseason struggles as a Dodger. Now 9-for-60 in his Dodger playoff career dating back to October of 2019. He has struck out 22 times in the postseason as a Dodger. That is indicative of a player that changes, whether he gets a little too tight. I don't believe A.J. Pollock plays scared, but he is an intense player, and I feel like just observing him and talking to guys that have been teammates with him, he gets a little too amped up for these games. And we saw that, and we've seen that with Nolan Arenado and his playoff career. We saw it again in the wild card game. A.J. Pollock just needs to relax and be the A.J. Pollock that we saw from the beginning of July until the end of the regular season, where he hit 330. So we'll see how long of a leash Dave Roberts has for A.J. Pollock moving forward, not only in this series, but if the Dodgers are able to advance to the NLCS and Pollock continues to struggle. Look, the Dodgers and Giants are two completely different teams. Yes, the Giants have Chris Bryant, Brandon Crawford, Buster Posey. Those guys are the pillars of this team and household names, but they are a much deeper team than the Dodgers. And there's not much finger pointing that can go to Dave Roberts for why he doesn't have this guy in the lineup, why he doesn't have that guy in the lineup this year, because his guys are his guys. The Dodgers are very top heavy this year. The depth is not as deep as it was in years past, in the last 6 years for the Dodgers. So if these guys in the starting lineup can't generate offense, I don't think Dave Roberts has much of anywhere else to turn other than maybe Gavin Lux, I guess Matt Beatty. But outside of those two guys, you have Steven Souza Jr. and Billy McKinney. And think back to a year ago where those spots would have been taken up by Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez. And 2 years ago, it would have been David Freese, Kike Hernandez, Jock Peterson, Chris Taylor, to help out with different matchups and solutions for guys that may be struggling. Right now, if Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Trey Turner, Justin Turner, Will Smith, Chris Taylor, all these guys, if they don't hit, the Dodgers are not scoring. Simple as that. It's such a big contrast compared to what the Giants have at their disposal. You look at their starting lineup tonight against the lefty, Julio Urias. They insert Austin Slater, Darren Ruff, Wilmer Flores, and off the bench, they can match up Yastrzemski, Duggar, Dickerson, LaStella, Lamont Wade Jr. Those are the names that Gabe Kapler has off his bench, while Dave Roberts has Matt Beatty, Gavin Lux, Billy McKinney, and Steven Souza Jr. to go along with Albert Pujols. And look, Albert Pujols is a future Hall of Famer, but we have seen that he basically is a one-bullet option for Dave Roberts off the bench. He's there for the left-handed matchup that you believe you want to use him for. So whether that's in the sixth inning or the ninth inning, he's a one-at-bat guy for the Dodgers. And he's a one-at-bat guy for the Dodgers against a lefty in a situation where the Dodgers can tie it or win it. He's not a guy that's going to be there to lead off the inning. So my point is, the Dodgers are very top-heavy and have been all season long. And if the guys in their starting lineup tonight don't generate offense, don't expect much from their bench. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We are taking your phone calls until 5 o'clock as we get you set for Game 2 of the NLDS. Julio Urias against Kevin Gausman. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from former Dodger bench coach and third baseman Tim Wallach. But when we continue here live from Oracle Park, we will fill you in on what's going on at Dodger Stadium tonight. Also, you will hear from the great Vin Scully, who is on Sports Talk Radio in the Bay Area. You don't want to miss that. A lot more pregame Dodger talk leading you up to Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck with Tim Cates coming up next right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is Dodger Talk on your home of the world champion Dodgers. Follow us on Instagram at AM 570 LA Sports for more Dodger content.
The home of the Dodgers.
AM 570 LA Sports.
We are live at Oracle Park in San Francisco. A very special edition of pregame Dodger Talk live from the radio booth here at Oracle Park as the Dodgers are taking batting practice in preparation for Game 2 of the NLDS, which is coming up at 6:07. Kevin Gausman against Julio Urias. Julio is the only pitcher in Major League Baseball to win 20 games this season. We are taking your phone calls until 5 o'clock at 866-987-2570. So I hope Dodger fans are not hiding somewhere in their homes, scared that the Dodgers are going to go down 0-2 tonight. Just being around the team, being on the team bus on the way to the ballpark, and knowing that Kevin Gausman has had major struggles in the second half of this season, I feel like the Dodgers are not only confident in themselves, but confident in the fact that they are going to be able to put up some runs against Kevin Gausman. And the Dodgers, one thing they have done this year for Julio Urias is give him run support. They're scoring an average of 6.5 runs per game when Julio is pitching. So if you're a Dodger fan and you're trying to chop this up with your friends and you're concerned about the Dodgers losing tonight, outside of the Dodgers making any defensive mistakes, even if they make a defensive mistake, I feel like the Dodgers are going to put up at least 4 or 5 runs. I wasn't that confident last night about that, but tonight against Gausman, who has been very, very ordinary, and the way the Dodgers were talking about the fact they can get to him today, it makes me believe that the Dodgers' offense is not going to be an issue tonight against Kevin Gausman as it was against Logan Webb. Logan Webb pitched a great game last night. You got to tip your cap to him, even though the Dodgers did not make in-game adjustments. But this is just a completely different game when there's a different starting pitcher on the mound. Plus, you have the guy that very easily could have been and should have been, in my opinion, the World Series co-MVP with Corey Seager and Julio Urias. So I have no doubts that Julio is going to show up tonight, and I feel like the Dodger offense is going to give him enough run support to be able to win this game. And tonight I kind of believe that it's going to come down to the bullpen game for both of these teams. I feel like Julio's going to do his job. The Dodger offense is going to do his job. And the Dodger bullpen is, and the Giants bullpen, I believe, that's what it's going to come down to tonight in Game 2 of the NLDS. 866-987-2570. Coming up at 4:30, we are going to be joined by Tim Wallach, the former Dodger third baseman and former Dodger bench coach under Don Mattingly. Let's go out to the phones before we hear from Vin Scully. Dave, in La Habra, you're on pregame Dodger talk live from Oracle Park. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave. Just wanted to ask you, you got a quick leash there on Pollock. What makes him so much different than Bellinger? But Pollock's had a better, you know, more of a better what have you done for me lately kind of situation where he's hitting a lot better.
Yeah, I don't believe you can, from what I've seen and the experience I have seen in the past with other players on other teams as well, Dave, you can't take what took place in the regular season and try to quantify it in the postseason. Cody Bellinger has been a big-time playoff performer going back to as recently as the wild card game. Without him, the Dodgers don't win that game. So he's been a playoff performer. He had a big home run last year in the NLCS to help beat the Atlanta Braves. So Cody's been a proven playoff player. AJ Pollock, when you talk about sample size, he has 60 at-bats and only 9 hits.
I feel you. Just worried about that whole, you know, that outfield in general, except for Mookie, but with them not producing a whole lot, kind of makes me nervous. But, you know, we got some proven talent that can do it. So,
yeah, the Dodgers need Mookie Betts to do something tonight. I know he had 2 hits last night. He led off the game with a single through the shifted infield, but the Dodgers need Mookie to get into scoring position, and they need him to have an impact, because if he doesn't have an impact, then you're counting on one less player. And when you don't have Max Muncy in this series, they need everybody to contribute. Let's go out to Rick in L.A. You're on Dodger Talk, pregame edition, live from San Francisco. Hi, Rick.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for your comments, and thank all the callers in. You know, a longtime Dodger fan, I attended my first Dodger game at the Coliseum. So I'm with them. We just got out-pitched yesterday. Yeah, the bats went cold, but I have great faith in us. We'll take today's game and come back home and close the series out as is appropriate at Chavez Ravine. My biggest concern is our bats. You know, no, we don't have Muncy, but I think about when you were talking about A.J. Pollock, what I flash back to was Mickey Hatcher in the 80s World Series, the 81 World Series. And it's just the next man up, you guys. Go Dodgers.
All right, Rick, thanks a lot for the phone call. Yeah, you know, if you go back to 1988, Mickey Hatcher and Mike Socha were not known for their offense, but what they were known for was their toughness and mental toughness and being playoff performers. Mike Socha hit one of the biggest postseason home runs in Game 4 of the NLCS off of Dwight Gooden. Without him doing that, the Dodgers don't even go to the World Series in 1988. Mickey Hatcher very easily could have been outside of Kirk Gibson and Oral Hershiser in the 88 World Series, Mickey Hatcher was the best player. Kirk Gibson only had 1 at-bat. Mickey Hatcher was the leader of the stuntmen and hit a big 2-run home run in the first inning of Game 1, and then later in the series hit a couple of other big home runs. So that's what I mean by playoff performers. Throw out the regular season. Prove it to us that you can perform in October. And look, I think it's pretty obvious if you listen to the show, I'm a big fan of A.J. Pollock, but it's hard to ignore A.J. Pollock 9-for-60 in his Dodger playoff career with 22 strikeouts. I wouldn't be doing you a service if I didn't bring that up. 866-987-2570. We all know the Dodgers and Giants have had a long-storied rivalry, and I know there's many people out there questioning whether or not this is, in fact, the first time the Dodgers and Giants have played each other in the postseason. Anything before 1890, it's not considered in the Dodger history book. That's when they became an official franchise in Major League Baseball. So anything before 1890 is not going to be considered. And as far as 1962 goes, that is not kept in postseason records. That's regular season games. Those are 165 regular season games for the Dodgers and Giants in 1962 to decide – who was going to be the NL West champion. And the Giants won 2 out of 3. So, yes, this is the first time the Dodgers and Giants have played each other in the postseason. And a man that has seen the Dodger-Giant rivalry going all the way back to New York is the one and only Hall of Fame broadcaster Vin Scully himself. And yesterday, he was on Sports Talk Radio here in the Bay Area on 95.7 The Game, and he was asked whether or not this Dodger-Giant playoff series is the highest of intensities that he had seen, and he disagreed with that notion.
Let me roll back the years. In Ebbets Field in 1950, there was a doorway that opened between the two clubhouses. Things got so hot between the two teams that they nailed the door shut. And from 1950, certainly through 56, I really and truly would say a prayer before a Giant-Dodger game so that no one would get hurt. There was an intensity with Leo Durocher, now suddenly the Giant manager, and the Dodgers with Walter Alston, and before him, Charlie Dressen. There has never been in my lifetime the fierceness, the bitterness, the push against shove than back in those days in the 50s, where you were worrying that someone would hurt somebody else.
And that was the great Vin Scully in his experience, who lived it, broadcasting Dodger games since 1950, all the way back in Brooklyn when these two teams were in the same city in different boroughs. And Vin grew up at the Polo Grounds, grew up a Giants fan, but as he said, stopped being a Giant fan and stopped being a fan, period, when he became the Dodger broadcaster. And so that, it's hard to disagree with that. And the reason why the dynamics have changed is simple. Players change teams too often now to have that type of disdain for each other. There isn't going to be a Jackie Robinson situation where he was traded to the San Francisco Giants and instead of playing for the Giants, decided to retire. Now, guys are fraternal with their player agents, and guys that share the same agents, no matter what team they're on, become friends. And it's a more fraternal type of league than it ever was before because of how players change teams so often due to free agency. And I would not characterize these two teams the way Vin Scully just characterized on 95.7 The Game yesterday, the way it was when the Dodgers and Giants were back in New York. 866-987-2570. David Vasse live at Oracle Park as we bring you a very special pregame edition of Dodger Talk, leading you up to Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck with Tim Cates. We'll hear from Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner during that hour, plus Gavin Lux will be our pregame guest before first pitch. Let's go back out to the phone. Solomon in Lake Balboa, you're on Dodger Talk live from Oracle Park. Hi, Solomon.
Oh, hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I am concerned. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. In a five-game series, which to me still is a relatively short series, the minute you lose game one, well, now you got to win three of the next four games. And that's what the Dodgers face. They'll get the split. God willing, they better get the split. But don't sell the Giants short. They can come down to L.A. and get that split. Then you're going back to Oracle Park, where from what I can see, the Dodgers have not played that well. And that the last, you know, the three-game series of the regular season, that was not a great performance. And they lost two of the three games. So I don't know where this is going, but, you know, last night was a real kick in the stomach. And it hurt, especially that first home run. That just started things off and
And that's why, Solomon, that's why you want to be the division winner and have home field advantage. And that's why three games stick out to me that the Dodgers gave away to the Giants, and that was the difference between having game one at Dodger Stadium and having game one here last night at Oracle Park. But I'm with you. In a game five situation here at Oracle Park, I would say the Giants are the favorite, especially without Max Muncy in the Dodger lineup and in this series. I don't think you could discount that. And, you know, the Giants are the team with the best record in baseball, so I don't know how anybody could say the Dodgers were the favorites coming into this series. They're not as deep as the Giants. I would say the one big advantage the Dodgers have is the fact that they have more solid starting pitching in these games. But I really believe the Dodgers have to find a way to win this series in four, or it's going to be very difficult to try to beat the Giants here at Oracle Park, where the Dodgers historically have not had great success, and in fact their record reflects that. Over the course of time that this ballpark has been opened, the Dodgers are four games under 500, including last night. So you're 100% right. The Giants are a much better team here at Oracle Park than they are on the road, but you have Julio Urias tonight, and you have Max Scherzer at Dodger Stadium on Monday in Game 3. So I like where the Dodgers stand, and I hate to bring this up because I heard Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner reference it last night. Just about three-quarters of the time, the team that wins Game 1 in the NLDS has gone on to win the series. And if you look back to the last 8 years that the Dodgers have played in the NLDS, when they have lost Game 1, which was twice, they have lost the series. 2014 NLDS and 2015 NLDS. They lost in four games to the Cardinals. We all remember the big home run by Matt Adams in St. Louis, and then they lost in five games to the Mets and Jacob DeGrom at Dodger Stadium. So you're right. Losing Game 1 definitely changes the dynamics of this series. Let's go out to the phones again. Gregory in L.A., you're on Dodger Talk. Hi, Gregory.
Hi, David. The thing that keeps coming up is, at least with Dave Roberts after the game, and even during the course of the game, my friend and I were watching this, and I'm saying, you know, I'm seeing all these pitches from Webb going out over away from the plate, and saying these Dodgers, they're going after pitches that are balls, and saying what's going on inside that dugout. What about their batting coach? Even Roberts, what are they saying to these batters before they come up? Hey, this is Webb's tendency to lead you on to swing at things that you can't get a hold of. And this is Max Muncy's his one of his great strengths. He understands that strikes him probably better than anyone else I've seen. He can almost sense where the ball, if it's going to lean away from him or come into where he can actually do something with it.
Yeah.
His insight on how to read that would be a great thing to start getting across to these hitters. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. But there's only so much the hitting coaches can do, Gregory. The players themselves, as they're in the batter's box, have got to make adjustments themselves and be their own hitting coaches instead of waiting for a game plan from watching the iPad or what the hitting coaches are telling them. They have to make the adjustments in the middle of the at-bat and from at-bat to at-bat. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We're going to take one more timeout here from Oracle Park in San Francisco. When we come back, your phone calls, plus we'll check in with former Dodger third baseman and bench coach Tim Wallach. He's next right here on Pre-Game Dodger Talk from Oracle Park on AM 570 LA Sports.
On air at AM 570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
We are live at Oracle Park in San Francisco, leading you up to Game 2 of the NLDS between the Dodgers and San Francisco Giants. First pitch coming up at 6:07 from Oracle Park. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment, but we want to get some real expertise by one of the best guys you'd ever meet as far as baseball or otherwise, a 17-year veteran, five-time All-Star, a Golden Spikes winner with Cal State Fullerton, former Dodger third baseman, and former Dodger bench coach, the one and only Tim Wallach. How you doing, Wally?
I'm doing good, Dave. How are you? You just made me sound really old, I guess, because I am.
I like to call it experienced more than old.
Okay, I'll take that.
Hey, you've been part of this Dodger team playing here at Oracle Park when you were on the bench. Why are the Giants so much better here than they are away from this ballpark?
Their fans are are pretty good. They can make some pretty good noise. I still remember when I was the hitting coach in 2004, and Bonds was there, and I'm blanking out on our closer. 2004, he was as good as there was.
Gagne?
Yeah, Gagne. Gagne was throwing 100 and with a nasty changeup, and I remember we were up 3-0, and it's as loud as any playoff game I was ever a part of, just in the bottom of the ninth when those two were hooking up. It was, they just have, they have great fans, just like the Dodgers do, and they love their team, and that's why the Dodgers are better at home as well. Most, you know, any team that has that kind of support at home is usually going to be better at home.
You're a great guy to answer this question, because everybody wants to point the fingers at hitting coaches on why guys don't hit or come through in certain situations. How important is it for the Dodgers or any hitter to be their own hitting coach in the middle of an at-bat?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that any hitter can take up to the plate with them is a plan, and sometimes that plan doesn't work out, but if you stick with it, more times than not, you're going to have a chance to be successful. And obviously the pitching now is just so good all around the league. You look around and see guys, you know, it seems like everybody throws 95 and above with just wipeout breaking balls. And it's just hitting's a tough gig right now. These guys, I mean, Webb that pitched last night, I've seen him a little bit in the past, and that's a different guy than I've ever seen. It was pretty impressive what he did last night.
Was it more about him last night than it was about the hitters, or did you feel like the Dodgers could have done a better job of adjusting?
Ooh, I don't know. His stuff was really, really good. That changeup that he came up with looks just like his fastball. I think it's more about Webb than it was the hitters. It usually is. When for the most part, especially at this point of the year, these guys have had enough at-bats, and they know pretty much what they're going to get and what they're going to do with it. And he was just that good last night.
Tim, when you were Don Mattingly's bench coach, you guys had a lot of options coming off the bench and a lot of versatility with players. It doesn't feel like this Dodger team is anywhere close to years past. It feels like their starting lineup are their guys, and they don't really have many other options.
Well, I mean, still with Taylor, he's a guy that can do a lot of things for them. Certainly they miss Muncy. There's no question about that, because his bat in that lineup gives them options with whichever guys are not in the lineup at that given day. You know, it just gives Dave a lot of different options to, you know, pinch hit, move guys around when they make a move with a pitcher, you know, just plug different guys in there.
How do you feel?
Injuries are definitely a part of every team at certain points of the year, but you hate to see a guy like Max Muncy out of the lineup at this time of year.
And is it more about than just the home runs, the 36 home runs? I know that's a big part of the package with Max Muncy, but the awareness of the strike zone and just how other guys feed off of him?
Yeah, just him in the middle of that lineup, it makes everybody better. You know, he's not afraid to go up there and take pitches, see, you know, you get a better idea of what he's got, what the pitcher's doing. Plus, he's a left-handed bat, and that takes a, you know, powerful left-handed bat out of the lineup against guys like Webb and Gausman and those type guys. So, yeah, that's a tough break at this point in the season. You missed that whole package of what he is as a hitter in the middle of that lineup.
Former Dodger third baseman and bench coach Tim Wallach is joining us on pregame Dodger Talk as the Dodgers and Giants are getting set for game two of the NLDS. And you know what five-game series are all about. You've won some. You've been a part of teams that have lost some. How bigger of a climb is it for the Dodgers after losing game one?
Well, I think tonight's obviously a very important game because if they can get this one, they go back home, and now they've got home field advantage. I believe they have two coming back in L.A., and everybody knows how good they are in L.A., so they can turn maybe a disadvantage into a big advantage if they can get tonight's game.
Yeah, not a bad guy to have on the mound in Game 3 at Dodger Stadium, Max Scherzer, right? Right, Wally? I don't think you've seen three guys like this where you have Buehler, Urias, and Scherzer starting the first three games of a postseason series.
Yeah, that's a pretty good threesome. That's another thing. You know, we were talking about injuries, and you miss having that fourth guy who's not a fourth guy, but in Kershaw. Yeah. They just don't. They don't make him any better than him. Just the whole package, person, pitcher, teammate, all that stuff. But if they can get tonight with Urias and then get back with Scherzer, I got to see a lot of him when I was coaching in Miami with Donnie, and he's just a big game pitcher, competitor. Just whatever it takes to win a game, that's the kind of guy you want out there.
Before I let you go, Tim Wallach, you've played and coached in this rivalry between the Dodgers and Giants. What did it mean for you when you were on the field at third base against the Giants? I'm sure Candlestick Park was no picnic when you played for the Dodgers.
Oh, well, Candlestick Park, oh, I still have nightmares about that ballpark, but it was the rivalry part was as good as it gets. That's the best one I played in at any point in my career. Regardless of where each team stood in the standings, it didn't matter. It was every game was as close to a playoff game as you could get. So, Candlestick. Ooh, I would have loved to have played it. The new one, that's for sure, but. It's the best rival. You look at that one and you look at Boston and New York, and that's obviously a great rivalry too. I was never a part of that one, so those are the two that are probably top of the list in baseball.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot for calling in and giving us your insight and letting people hear your voice again. I mean, just because you're not in baseball doesn't mean we can't have you on the show. You still got a lot of knowledge to drop on us.
Well, anytime, Dave. I'll be happy to talk with you. And I do have to say one thing. You may not get as lucky the rest of the season in our fantasy football where nobody ever scores points against you.
Yeah,
your defense is incredible.
It's always great looking down at you on the standings in our fantasy football league.
That's another one. Injuries. Injuries have gotten me this year. Oh, well. I'll be back. I'm not worried yet.
All right. Sounds good. We'll keep people updated on how that goes the rest of the baseball season and fantasy football season.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it.
All right, Dave. Take care.
There it goes. One of the best, Tim Wallach, had... He definitely should have been a manager in Major League Baseball at some point. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, and he's enjoying retired life, being a grandfather, and helping out his son, Chad Wallach, who the Dodgers had for a second off of waivers. Now the Angels have him and are very fortunate in their system. 866-987-2570. David Vasse live at Oracle Park in San Francisco, where the Dodgers have just completed batting practice. We are leading you up to the top of the hour, where Tim Cates will take over with Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck. Gavin Lux will be our pregame guest as we get closer to first pitch, which is at 6:07 tonight here from Oracle Park. And if you're not able to be here in San Francisco and you want to be around your fellow Dodger fans, why don't you go to Dodgers.com and get some tickets to the viewing party tonight at Dodger Stadium in the center field plaza. It seems like they're going to do that for every Dodger road playoff game, and it was a great success last night, and with your purchase of a ticket, it's free parking, and I do believe you get a free replica championship ring, so you want to head out to Dodger Stadium if you have no plans this Saturday night. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Huntington Beach. Phil, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse, live from San Francisco. Hi, Phil.
Hi, David. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just got a question for you. It's been kind of driving me crazy. And it has to do with the Dodgers bullpen, which I think is their strength for sure against the Giants. I think they stack up real well. So maybe that's going to be their key, is that, you know, the bullpen limits the Giants so much, and if the Dodgers can, you know, really get their game going on the bats, maybe that's the secret for them. I was wondering about Gratterall, what your thoughts were on this. Every time I see Gratterall come in, he's lights out, just insanely good. Strike zone control is enormous, but he's only going to pitch maybe one or two guys. I never see him carry over into the next inning, and I wonder what your thoughts are. Why is that? I mean, I'm sure he could throw more than 40 pitches.
I'm sure he could too, but he hasn't been very effective, and he doesn't have a strikeout pitch. He's still evolving as a pitcher, Phil, and that's the concern at this point in time, because he doesn't get strikeouts. He really hasn't taken the growth this year that the Dodgers were hoping for after the way he closed out last year. So it's up to him to come up with another pitch that isn't so straight. I mean, 100 miles an hour that is straight as an arrow is not a swing and miss pitch. You got to find a way to get some movement on your fastball. And during the last homestand of the regular season, I saw Kenley Jansen trying to help him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was trying to show him the grip for the cutter to get more movement on his pitches. But it's not a matter of whether or not he can throw those many pitches. It's a matter of whether or not he could be effective if you left him in that long.
I get it. So you think, they'll track him. Eventually, it's going to be like a pitching machine for him. Yeah.
Exactly. Thanks for the phone call, Phil. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Glendale. Mark, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Mark.
Hey, David, how you doing? Appreciate all your insight. Been listening to you just about every day. So my concern right now is with the Dodgers fielding. I feel like they kind of gave away the division by just being a little loose with the glove and the throwing this year. I looked at the Giants last night, and, man, their defense was just airtight. And I think really that's the difference between the two in terms of winning the division. I just feel like the Dodgers finished toward the middle, maybe even the bottom of fielding as a team, and maybe they just took a little too lightly this year. Wanted to get your input on that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I feel like the Dodgers' focus on defense this year was not what we have seen in the past, and we started to see it towards the end of the season where they locked it in, but you just look at their defense up the middle. Corey Seager is not known for his glove. He's in there for his bat. He makes the plays that he has to, and the Dodgers have done a great job of positioning him so he doesn't have to cover as much ground. You got Trey Turner playing second base, who hasn't played there since 2016. You have Will Smith behind the plate, who is not known for his defense. He's in there for his bat. So up the middle defense, the Dodgers are sacrificing a little bit to have that offense in there, but they're all very capable. And sometimes, especially in this day and age of baseball, guys are more worried about their offense than their defense, and they carried it out there with them. All right, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570. Let's stay here in the Bay Area. John is calling us from San Francisco. Are you coming to the game tonight, John?
Unfortunately, no. I have tickets for Game 5 if they need them, if it's needed. But man, I've been a Giants fan for my whole life, so decades and decades of watching the sport and the rivalry. But
wait a minute. You're a Giants fan and you're listening to Dodger Talk. I'm very honored.
I enjoy your show a lot, David. I think you have a really good measured approach on a lot of these shows. Win or lose, so I do enjoy it. I like listening to what the other teams say about my team or how they feel, get an outside perspective. So definitely enjoy it. But this series is just, you know, talk about a gut grinder. But it's been a long time coming, too. So every game feels like, you know, Armageddon one way or another. But I keep on remembering that, you know, you're one win away from being right back in the series. And when we're one win away from looking good. But until the third game is won, I wouldn't give up on my team. And I don't expect the Dodgers to give up on their team either. So,
hey, John, let me ask you a question, because I have talked to different people. They know that Oracle Park has not been filled up all year long, and it could be for a variety of different reasons. But I'm just curious, from a Giants fan standpoint, when did you start buying into this team that they were for real?
Probably close to the All-Star game, you know, halfway through. I think that what we saw early was complete magic, and we were watching the team and watching it evolve. And at some point, like I said, around halfway through the season, you really started believing in what Farhan had done, compiling his roster. And I really like the fact that they're so – like, I think the Dodgers 1 through 9 are the best team in baseball, but the Giants' ability to manipulate the lineup every single day and their depth, I think, is really what's
That's the separator in this series. Look at their lineup tonight, and look who's on their bench compared to who's on the bench for the Dodgers. It's just not the same deep Dodger team that really doesn't have a drop-off when they go to anybody off the bench. I mean, it used to be Kike Hernandez, Jock Peterson, and David Freese or Chase Utley, and now it's Steven Souza Jr., Billy McKinney, Gavin Lux, and Albert Pujols. That's a big drop-off, and that's why I say these players in the starting lineup tonight, if they're not going to do it, nobody else is. That'll do it for us on pregame Dodger Talk. Coming up next, Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates. It is travel getaway day now that I'm flying with the team again, so Tim will have post-game Dodger Talk for you after Game 2 of the NLDS, which is just around the corner. First pitch at 6:07, Kevin Gausman against Julio Urias. Tim is next with Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck. We'll talk to you in a few minutes here